Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you're watching The Mandalorian, Jack and I have a podcast for you.
Every week, we'll discuss the latest episode of The Mandalorian and talk about other great content and maybe some not so great content on Disney Plus as well.
As two lifelong Star Wars fans, we have a ton of fun geeking out over all the little details of the show, and we want you to join us every Monday.
So search for Disney Plus Reviews. That's Disney P-L-U-S Reviews. Hey, Phil, how about that Baby Yoda? Baby Yoda says, what's a podcast?
She has sold over 30 million albums, 6 Grammy Awards, 22 Dove Awards, the first Christian artist to go platinum, which means 1 million sold. She's the author of several books, married to country superstar Vince Gill, who's now an Eagle. And in the last decade, she has become a friend. My guest for episode 100 is Amy Grant.
Morning, man.
Hi.
Pulse FM and the Studio DNA Podcast Network present What Else with Corey Mann. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or visit the archives on Apple, Spotify, or Google Play. Part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
That's good. Check, check, 1, 2. Sweet. Let's see. So mic's okay for you and volume's okay?
Sounds fantastic.
Let me tap this just to make sure you're hearing the right mic.
Okay.
Hello, hello, hello.
Here's Amy.
Hey, do I have time to go grab a cup of coffee?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Oh, that poster in the back. Oh, that is massive. Oh, my gosh. That's huge. Wow. You know what? I'm not going to have coffee because one thing leads to another, and I'll just have to excuse myself. So,
great to see you.
It's great to see you, too. Can you hear me loud enough?
You sound fantastic.
I'm going to turn my phone off because
I hear gurgling.
It's probably my stomach.
Are you hungry? Literally, that mic is so good. I hear your stomach rumbling.
Okay, can I tell you the hardest job I ever had was doing I wrote a collection of essays called Mosaic, and they wanted to do an audiobook. And I had such a loud digestive tract, we had to wrap my body in packing blankets.
And that's the story behind Love Will Find a Way.
Yes!
Sing your praise to the Lord. Come on, everybody, stand up and sing one more. Hallelujah, give your praise to the Lord. I can never tell you just how much good that it's gonna do you just to sing anew the song your heart learned to sing when he first gave his life to you. The life goes on and so must the song. You gotta sing again the song born in your soul when you first gave your heart to him. Sing his praises once more. Sing your praise to the Lord. Come on, everybody.
Lo and behold, episode 100 sits in my lap. Let's say hello to guest number 100, my absolute favorite person to have as guest episode 100, Amy Grant.
I love the big fat number 100. That's fun.
You know, 100's a big deal. You've been doing this for a long time, so it's like, all right, I got to bring my A game today.
All right.
A game for Amy Grant. There you go.
Ba-dum-bum. Hey, what have been some of your, and just by the way, you're way ahead of the curve with podcasts because, you know, oh, there goes my stomach. Did you hear that?
It's amazing. Oh, it's so great. Yeah. Why am I ahead of the curve?
People that never were in the podcast world, everybody, everything became podcasts because that's how we can enjoy each other in these socially distanced days. I was just going to ask you, when you think back over the 99, just right off the top of your head, what are the three that stick out for whatever reason, good, bad, or ugly, that you go, oh, yeah,
Thank you for asking. Rebecca St. James, she hung it up for a good amount of time. So when she decided to get back in the ring, so to speak.
Yes.
The amazingly talented Mark Martel.
I was just with him.
You know, he's got a church upbringing. He's got, he's hanging his hat on Queen music, Amy. He did not know who they were for a good chunk of his life. And that's just fascinating that somebody pulls him aside and goes, man, you sound like this guy. And he's like, what guy?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's cool.
I really enjoyed a toss-up between Bob Carlyle and Russ Taff.
Oh, they're both great guys. I know Russ a lot better than I know Bob. And to me, Russ, he's just so disarming. The life he's lived is written all over his face, and he's just beautiful.
Open heart surgery on June 3rd. No pun intended, my heart sank when I heard this because I felt like my friend is going under the knife, and it scares me, and I'm not even hearing the news that this might be a thing that you need to deal with. What was that season like leading up to June 3rd?
Well, it was surprising news, you know. It just, when I look how it happened, it was just such a happy accident. You know, back in December of last year, I went to the doctor with Vince just as his sidekick. His dad died of a heart attack at 65, and Vince was approaching his 63rd birthday. And our parents imprint us with so many things. But if you have a parent that died younger, it's almost like that you get this impression that that's how long I'm allowed to live. It's weird. I saw that with my father, because my father was a teenager when his dad died. And when he started approaching that age that his own father died, you know, he just said, this is weird. So anyway, my father lived to be an old man. But Vince went to a cardiologist, and I just went with him to hear his test results. And they said, you're great. You know, eat better, get more exercise. Your heart looked great. Your arteries are great. And then the doctor turned to me and said, well, we should check you out. And I went, I'm fine. And he said, well, no, we should. And I went, well, okay, let's wait till after Christmas. And so I went in the first week of January. And yeah, everything we checked for was great, great, great. And then something they didn't check for, they discovered a day later. And so it was a birth defect. And it just kind of was a surprise, but I was glad they found it, because I don't think you don't live to be old with that birth defect. And I sort of always pictured myself living like my great-grandmother did, well into her 90s.
Any fear?
I think it helped that I, just being 59, makes, it's like everything in life that you are looking forward to or dreading, at some point you go, it's just like every other day. You know, you see it on the horizon. It's closer and closer. Then you go to bed the night before and you wake up, you're in it. And then you get through it. And that's really the way I felt, was I just didn't try to think about it too much. And the week before, I had family and friends coming by saying that we want to pray for you. And I said, fantastic. I would love that. And then I did all the special showering that you do and scrubbing yourself from head to toe. And then I showed up that morning and we were off to the races. But I didn't think about it. You know, I just tried to be every day, be in the moment that I was in, which was, that was really the weird thing, you know, because I was supposed to be on tour and it was going to be such a great fall. And then everything shut down. I mean, such a great spring. Everything shut down, and our youngest daughter came home. And so it was just such a gift. It was such a great gift. I learned more about that child. She's 19. And I feel like that time actually has changed how I parent, how I respond to all my kids. I don't know, something, there has been a gift of COVID for me personally. And I've never felt so grounded. I've never been so aware of my own limitations. It makes me grateful every time I get help with something. It's all good. It's been, that part of it has been really beautiful. we would have conversations. You know, the weather was beautiful and Karina and I would be outside and I was just listening to her talk and talk and talk. And then she'd go, whoo, I don't know what this is. These COVID confessions. I'm saying way too much. I said, well, we just have each other. But yeah, we played a lot of ping pong. And that was the big thing. You know, I would say, please play ping pong with me, please. I mean, she always beats me, but we, you know, and I would go, well, I'm not going to be able to play ping pong for a while. Just play. Let's play. You know, so.
Let's talk about June 4th then, June 4th to now. Are you good? Are you happy, healthy? Are you the bionic woman now? What's the deal?
I'm happy, healthy. And there's my scar. Da-da-da-da-da. I joke, it looks like tattooed cleavage. So something I never had. A tattoo or cleavage. Now I have both. No, I feel great. And I feel better than I did before. I didn't even know I didn't feel good, but I feel better. I'm very grateful. I know it does not turn out that way for everybody. I felt the impact of people's prayers for me. And I've used this phrase over and over again. But I felt like I had a West Texas wind at my back. Like even things that I was really afraid of, it was just like, take a deep breath, say the alphabet. You know, we're getting ready to do X, Y, Z. And I was just like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, it can't take more than 10 seconds. Now we have to pull out these tubes. Now we have to pull out these wires and be like, I'll just start the alphabet and breathe. Really feeling prayed for was such a profound experience, and it changed how I feel about praying for people.
How so?
Just that I know it makes a difference. I know it does.
Okay.
I know it. And I think a lot of people praying, I'm not saying it dictates the outcome, but the presence of love that you feel going through something, the presence of peace going through something, for me was palpable. And so, yeah. And I have a lot of feelings about that feel very clear in my head, but sound disjointed when I try to say them out loud. But it made me realize prayer does not take a lot of words. And it is about, I would even say, if somebody said, how can I pray for you? I would say, picture me in your mind and wrap me in loving thought and just lift me to the light. Because I don't know what I'm going to need. And I mean, I felt wrapped and lifted. And so it makes me go, oh my gosh, every time we take our eyes off of ourselves or our own circumstances and we consider what somebody else is going through, not just even wrapping it up with words, but just wrapping our thoughts and our loving intention and lifting that to God is, to me, it's all prayer. It's all prayer. That's why, I don't know, like, it's made me look at every gripe and complaint that we all have in the world about this situation or this person or this thing. And I went, I'm telling you, if we just all pray, everything would change. We would see ourselves differently. We'd see each other differently. And, you know, there were so many times I'd be walking around the garden and I'd have somebody that was really under my skin. And I'd go, oh God, how far back do I have to picture this person to be able to pray for him? We got to go back to little teeth. If I could picture that person with little teeth, then I can hold it, wrap them with compassion and pray your best for them. But it's just like, no matter what you're doing, your mind's doing something. You're thinking about something. And it's like, oh my gosh, just like let someone or something come into that space. Realize that it's prayer, actually. Yeah, I mean, I'm so changed by that. I know I've yammered on and on, but I got to tell you, it was a couple of weeks before I could even talk about it without crying. It was such a deep experience for me. And it would be like, in a negative way, you would swim differently in the ocean if you'd ever been pulled by a riptide out at sea and had to be rescued by a helicopter. You'd never look at the ocean the same way. If you had been like ripped from, oh yeah, I got this, I've been body surfing my whole life, to out there with the sharks, you would never look at the ocean the same way. You would never look at whatever flag is waving, yellow, red, and kind of, oh, no big deal. You would say, the ocean is big and bigger than me, bigger than I am. And so it, seeing that is kind of like a negative experience. To me, I felt in the most beautiful way that I got caught in a riptide of prayer. And I just went, oh my gosh, I've sat on the edge of it. I've stuck my toe in it. I've swam around a little bit, but this is massive. Hmm. And so that was the biggest change for me with heart surgery, was really feeling all of our connectedness and the incredible impact that how we hold each other in thought and prayer changes us.
The last time you and I had a conversation, we talked about what your next move might be, and you said to me, you're going to chase after songwriting in a completely different way. You're going to try something different. You're going to almost deconstruct how you've always done it before. Yeah. And these last few minutes hearing you talk, I feel like I've just heard an album worth of material.
Oh.
You know? Yeah. So as a songwriter, has anything birthed from your time in a pandemic or your time under the knife and this revelation of prayer? I mean, are you putting pencil to paper on any of this stuff?
Not yet. I have other projects that are not musical that are taking up the most of my time. But honestly, I enjoy songwriting the most. I love co-writing. I love it, love it, love it. And I can write by myself, but I'm kind of like squirrel, you know, oh, there, another shining object. And like without an album that's due, you know, I don't have a contract with a record company right now. And it's kind of like I love words. I love music, but I'm in a little bit of a gravity free zone right now. And we have quarantined pretty hard. And so like a lot of people, we've just made the decision to simplify our lives the best we could. We have a grandson who has asthma, and I want to be their go-to place, you know? And I've had a few friends that have gotten really sick with COVID and are still recovering. And so I think I know all those songs are there. And thanks for that encouragement.
Well, that whole ocean metaphor sounded like literally you were working out the words to a song. So there's something there. I don't know what, but.
Well, can I tell you, I'd never actually used that metaphor ever. The riptide and all that stuff.
That was just now?
Yeah. Yep. And that's, to me, I'm so inspired by conversation. Like you even asking me, what was that like? And my mind's going. And I think that's why I'm almost any co-writing is essential for me, because it's trying to wrestle a thought to the ground. And to me, that's so much fun. It's all storytelling, but it's like I need the other person to say, and then what do you think? And then what, you know?
Permission to ask some Vince Gill questions to probably the person closest to him.
Oh, good. Okay.
You're married to an amazing artist. With that kind of access, do you ever take advantage of that and just whisper in his ear, I'd like to hear, I don't need a rocking chair, like right now?
You know, he's kind of, I mean, what I do ask is, hey, I'm going to play something. Will you play along with me? Will you, you know... If he's not on the golf course, because he loves golf and it's a great, he loves being outside if it's a well-manicured environment. But when he's home, he's usually he's usually making music. And so what I feel is, oh my gosh, I'm sitting here doing whatever project I'm doing, and I get to hear music coming down the hall. So I don't really have to ask very often. One time I did say, would you fulfill a fantasy for me and bring your guitar out to the garden? I'm weeding. And like in my mind, I just, will you just noodle around on the guitar?
That's amazing.
And he did. And, you know, but I don't very often. Yeah. And
please tell me it was Desperado.
No, sorry.
You know, because he's got an in now with those guys.
He does have an in with those guys. I know.
What's his, Amy, what's his best Eagles song that he does? You've probably seen him a couple times, but what is the home run for him?
Well, I would say he kills it on Take It to the Limit. That's in their show right now at the show order. That's the first thing he sings. And, you know, all the high stuff Randy Meisner did, he kills it. And then the other one is Heartache Tonight.
Oh.
The Bob Seger song. He kills that one. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, I grew up with all that stuff. It's funny, the other night we were talking about, you know, now we look at Eagles music and go, well, I mean, that is, now they're clearly a country band. But when the Eagles, in the early 70s, I saw them in 74, I was 13. I mean, I love the Eagles from way back when. And when you look at what was happening in country music then, they were anything but a country act. They were soulful, rootsy rock and roll. But I just, you know, when they decided to go back out and tour, I just don't, there was not a better choice to somebody that could honor Glenn Frey's amazing creativity. Nobody could do it like Vince. I mean, I look around and go, we have creative people walk through our door all the time. I have purchased a lot of concert tickets. He's just so effortless in his singing, in his playing, the way he honors music. And I'm so proud of him. I'm really proud of him. And what fun for him in his early 60s to be the youngest guy in the band, except for Deacon, except for Glenn's son. I mean, yeah. Thanks for talking about him.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Were there other personal things you wanted to ask? He never has bad breath. He doesn't eat or drink anything that gives you bad breath. He wakes up with good breath.
The Forbes article said you've been enjoying binge watching TV with him. What show did you watch with him that you both enjoyed together?
We watched two shows, all seasons beginning to end, and then the only thing we've binge watched really is the world news. That's it. But can you say this on your podcast?
Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek. We watched that because we were big Eugene Levy, and then also a writer friend of mine told me that we should watch Jane the Virgin.
Okay.
And that was really a time commitment. There was like 100 episodes. I mean, I told Vince, if I had put into seminary the amount of time we put in watching Jane the Virgin, we would both be the Pope by now. I mean, it was... By the end, we were like, oh my gosh, are we nearly done? And, but we haven't, you know, I mean, he's got his go-to shows, but that was really, you know, now it's kind of back to sports. You know, we're watching hockey right now and he's always watching golf, but, we have that. Those were the two shows we binge watched and there's so much great TV, but I can really disengage from it like for months on end. So, that's fine with me.
Let's go back a few years and we'll end with this. 1985, Goonies, Back to the Future, Breakfast Club at the theaters, Growing Pains on TV, on the radio, Power of Love, Huey Lewis, Broken Wings, Mr. Mister, Take on Me, Aha, and then May 15th, 1985, here comes Unguarded, the juggernaut. Would you say biggest album of your career? And I don't mean sale wise. I mean just a pivotal career shift or like.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't, when my experience is so different because my experience with music is the making of it. And then all of the relationships in the studio, on the road, with the record company or companies, as the case was for a decade or so there with Word and A&M. That was just such a busy, crazy, fun stretch. It was so much fun. I was making records at Caribou Ranch at the time, still friends with Jim Guercio, who, by the way, started CMT years ago. And he owned this recording studio that had hosted everybody from Elton John, Dan Fogelberg, Michael Jackson. I mean, so many people worked at Caribou Ranch, and we all had the same experience. It was primitive. It was on the edge of a national forest. I mean, then you just went out there and slept in cabins and ate dinner by lantern light and made music. And so just even from the beginning of that record and all the touring, that record was that began what I look back on as a beautiful tidal wave of the biggest touring years. You know, we toured and toured and toured, and then within the year found ourselves going back to the same cities and playing bigger places. And it was beautiful.
I saw you on that tour. I was a sophomore. And yes. My dad took me and the pastor's son. You played the Notre Dame Joy Center where the basketball team plays. And was you and Bob Bennett.
I love Bob Bennett.
Would that have been right?
Yes. He hated that tour. He hated that tour because he came out with just a guitar. He's so talented.
Big room.
Yeah, and a lot of kids, it was a younger crowd, and they really wanted the energy of the show that they assumed we were going to put on. And he was like, woo, tough crowd, tough crowd for a guitar. But he was so, oh man, what a great talent and a great guy.
Double disc vinyl, white limited edition, the full album. 4 live tracks. Your commentary on the record comes out this October. One wonders of the, if I remember correctly, 5 different versions of that album cover, which one will be on this double vinyl?
There were actually 4 covers.
Were there?
And then a separate cover, a separate picture on the back, but it was 4 covers. And all 4 pictures will be on the front of this one.
I love it. Have you come to quitting?
Well, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about music. It kind of comes in projects, so it comes in waves. I mean, there have been a couple of times in my life when I just felt like my tank was empty for all kinds of reasons. Personal struggle. And then it was...
Did you have to be talked out of it, or did you come to your senses?
I think can I tell you about a conversation that I had years later? I had the chance to work. I had met Carole King several times. I had a chance to work with her because she was doing a benefit concert for the Painted Turtle. And she invited me to come and sing a few songs with her. And I said, oh gosh, thank you for never quitting. Thank you for going back out and touring just always. And she said, you know, I've thought about quitting but then I'd get the call, and I was thinking Lou Adler, her manager, and I said, Lou, is he like kind of come on, girl. And she said, no, we might even call it by different names, but you know what I mean. Just the call to keep using your gift. And I'd love that. And I said, yeah, I get that call too. And that's really the big thing is to, you know, I know how life-shaping music has been for me. And I don't mean career. I just mean music has been a lifeline. Music reaches us when nothing else can. And I just go, I always want to be a part of creating music. You know, it's not as consistent as it used to be, but I don't ever want to stop. And Vince and I had that conversation when we first got married, and he just said, let's encourage each other as long as we're living to be creative.
Every time we have a conversation, you inspire me to be in the moment. You make me feel like I'm the only person in the room, so I want to return that to other people. I must say, you've given me a lot to think about concerning prayer, so I'm grateful that you went there. And on behalf of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of fans, please, when you get a hot minute, put pencil to paper, do one of those things that you do best, and strum a few chords along with it as well, okay?
Okay. Hey, maybe we should do the co-write on that song.
The ocean and the ripple effect. There's the red flag over there. Don't drown something, something. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I'll just bring the food. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for being guest number 100 on this podcast, as always. Mwah. Love you to death.
Thank you, Corey. It's great to see you. Thank you, my friend.
You've been listening to What Else with Corey Mann, part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Production elements and voiceovers by audiblegenesis.com. Find complete podcast tools and production at audiblegenesis.com. Find this podcast and older episodes on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Leave a comment or review, tell a friend, and thank you for listening.
Everybody get out of here! There's a lobster loose! Oh, holy cow, he's loose!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.